Hi, I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Welcome to the Least of These podcast. We reach out to those the world has forgotten. If you'd like to know more about us and how you can donate to help us fulfill our mission, go to hisloveministries.net. Thank you very much and God bless you.
Heavenly Father, we just come before you today thanking you for your grace and your mercy and your love. Okay. Lord, we thank you that we can come to you, that we can come boldly to the throne, that we don't need an intercessor. But all we need is Jesus. He did it all when He died on the cross. Lord, we thank you for the spirit that I feel today, Lord. I thank you for all of these that have come here today to hear your word. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity today to be in this place and to minister your word. Lord, the humbleness of that, Lord, the ability that I have not, but your grace, Lord, that allows me to come and do this in your stead through your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray most of all that today, that somebody here today, I know not everybody, is probably not saved here. I hope everybody is, but Lord, if there's somebody here today that's not saved, I pray that somehow, some way, through your grace, Lord, that you would open up their hearts and their minds and that you would help them to understand the truth about Jesus Christ. And today would be the first day of the rest of their life, that they would be born again today, Lord. We thank you for that. We thank you for the message you prepared for us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, today we want to look at Philippians. We're going to start in verse 19, I believe, is where I finished. I finished in verse 18 last time. You know, I talked about Paul, that he was a great man of God, and that he loved the Philippians. And he wrote to them to let them know he was doing okay, and that Paul was locked up in prison because of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. He wasn't locked up because of anything he had done, but he was locked up because of preaching Jesus Christ. And he said it had become evident to the whole palace, the palace guard and the people around him, that his chains were in Christ. That was why he was locked up. And so he said he wanted to let them know that the things that had happened to him had happened for the furtherance of the gospel. And I said last time that, you know, that no matter where we're at, no matter what the situation is, that we can praise God. God can use us wherever we're at. And I used the song, Brighten the Corner Wherever You Are. And that song says, you know, don't wait for some great deed or some mighty thing to do for God. He says, but do something right where you are. He says, brighten the corner right where you are. And so I said that last time, that we can do something for God, that it's not your ability, but it's your availability. You know, this makes 4 years that I've been coming here, and I say that not to boast, but because God in His amazing grace, through one man, I said, well, I wanted to do some ministry, and God said, use this man to open up this place in my life. I thank God for that opportunity. I love coming up here and seeing y'all guys. I love coming up here and be able to teach. I look forward to it every month. And I just thank God for the opportunity. Paul, he said that, you know, no matter where you're at, no matter what you're doing, whether you're in the hospital, whether you got a loved one that's sick, no matter what's going on in your life, you can praise God because you know that He's working all things together for good to them that love Him and are called according to His purposes. Not only the good things in life turn out for good, but the bad things, God allows them to shape our character, to change us, and to make us more like Him. And so Paul says, you know, I wouldn't have been able to get to the palace guard. I wouldn't have been able to get to Caesar. I wouldn't have been able to get to his household had I not been locked up. And I got a guy chained to me 4 times a day. And I witnessed to those guys, and he had about 3,000 opportunities a year to witness to these different guards. I don't know if he had 3,000 different guys, but he got to minister to these guys every day. Paul says, no matter where you're at, you know, some of these people, because they see my chains, that they're trying to steal my place in life. They see my success. No matter where I'm at, no matter what I'm doing, as long as I let Christ be first in my place, you know, and first in my life, that God works through me. And, you know, we saw that through John. John was locked up in the Isle of Patmos, and he wrote the book of Revelation. Paul Bunyan, the idea for Pilgrim's Progress came when he was locked up. Joseph, he spent 2 years in the jail, and he was in there, and God raised him to a position of leadership because God was working through his life. We can either let God work through us or we can whine and cry about our situation, because we're all in situations we don't like. Maybe it's not as bad as what we got. Some other people have, but hey, you know, we all got things that we don't like about this life, places we're at that we don't want to be, but God can use those if we let him do it. And so it's up to us. I said the same wind that blows the ship into the harbor safely, that same wind crashes another one on the rock. And so we got to have the right attitude about what we're doing. You know, Paul says that we have to have the right attitude about what we're doing. And as long as we have the right attitude, we can make it through this life. We have the right attitude and we know that Jesus Christ can use us. Paul says he's appointed for the defense of the gospel. Verse 19, listen to this. This is Paul's whole purpose statement, his whole life verse. If you add this up, Philippians 3:12-14, he says, "For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Holy Spirit." Well, I'm sorry, this isn't his life verse. 21 is his life verse. I got ahead of myself. But anyway, Paul says, "I know that this will turn out for my deliverance." Adversity makes some better and it makes some bitter. I mean, it's up to you. What do you want to do with the situation you're in? Do you want to let it make you a better person through the strength of Jesus Christ? Or do you want it to make you bitter? I mean, when it makes you bitter, it doesn't help you. You know, I heard an illustration a while back. Talked about a man who talked about hate. You know, and you that hate, you sleep on it. You wake up in the morning thinking about it. You go to bed thinking about it. But the guy that you hate, it's not bothering him a bit. But it's eating you alive. And so you can let the same situation eat you alive, where you at, what you doing. You can let that eat you alive, or you can focus on what you can do that's good and right and holy for Jesus Christ. And that's what we need to do. We don't need to get our eyes on other people. We need to get our eyes off ourselves. We need to get our eyes on Jesus Christ. And when we get our attitude right and our focus right, we can do all things through Christ because he strengthens us. And so Paul says, "I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Holy Spirit," through the full supply of the Holy Spirit. You see, Paul says that I'm going to be delivered through this. I'm going to make it through it. Yeah, it's going to be tough. I can't get out and do the things I want to do. I'm not where I want to be. But you know, God can work through me where he's at, where I'm at. And so I'm going to use this time. I'm going to use this situation to do what God wants me to do. And so he says, through your prayer. And we know he said before in verses 9 through 11, he says, "I'm praying for you." And now he's hoping and praying that they're praying for him. And that's what we need to be doing. If you're praying for your brother and he's praying for you, then you're all right, because God's in control and God's going to help you through the situation. And so he says, through your prayer and the supply, or the full supply of the Holy Spirit. We know the Holy Spirit is the comforter. And the Holy Spirit's going to get us through it. He comes alongside us and he comforts us. And he takes care of us where we're at. No matter how bad the situation looks, he gets us through it. I mean, Jesus said that, you know, "I leave, but I can't leave. If I don't leave, another one can't come, the comforter. Paracletus, the one that comes alongside you. He says, I give you my peace. My peace I live with you. He says, fear not, be not dismayed. I'm going to give you my peace." And if you got the Holy Spirit, you got the peace with God. You're no longer under his wrath, but you also have peace of God. And no matter what the situation is, no matter how bad it gets, you can make it through it because Jesus Christ lives in you and through you. And so he says in verse 20, "According to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death." You see, he says, according to my earnest expectation. That has the idea of looking hard as you can towards something and not looking to the right, not looking to the left, but he's looking hard as he can towards Jesus Christ and that blessed hope one day he's going to make it into heaven. And he says that I don't want to be ashamed. But with all boldness, instead of get quieting down, he's going to speak louder about Jesus Christ. He's not going to shut up. He's not going to let them beat him down. when he's persecuted, but he's going to speak louder about Jesus Christ. And so he says, I don't want to be ashamed when I stand before the Father. But he says, but with all boldness, so now Christ will be magnified in my body. I mean, John in 3:29 through 30, what did John say when the disciples told John that Jesus was baptizing more people? He says, he must increase, but I must decrease. So we need to magnify Jesus Christ and decrease us. It's what we need to do. You know, because of Jesus Christ's love for us. 2 Corinthians 5:14 to 15, he says, for the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. We don't need to live for ourselves no more. He says that we've been bought with a price. You're no longer your own. If he died on the cross for your sins and you've asked him to forgive you those sins and you've trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, hey, he's bought and paid for you. You were a slave to sin and he set you free to do the good things in life that we couldn't do before. So Christ was magnified through Paul's life. Romans 12:1 says to present your bodies a living sacrifice. And so that's what we need to do. The Old Testament sacrifices were pictures of what we were to do. We were to present our bodies as living sacrifices. Everything we do is to glorify and to honor and to praise God. And so that's why we exist here. That's why he leaves us here. You know, he says in verse 21, this is his purpose statement. His whole purpose, everything goes through this one thing. For me to live, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And what does he say in 3:12 through 14? He says, that not that I've already obtained, but I press on towards the prize. What's the prize? To be like Jesus Christ. And so he says, I want to be like him. Paul says, I want Jesus Christ to be magnified, whether by life or by death. You know, we need to remember that. We need to devote our life to serving Christ. He said, whoever loses his life for me will gain eternal life. But whoever keeps his life will lose it. So you can pay me now, pay me later. You can live the life you want now or live it for Jesus and live in eternity forever in heaven. Or you can live in eternity in hell forever. That's up to you. But he says you're going to be in one place or the other. The body doesn't disappear. The soul doesn't disappear. But we're going to live somewhere eternally. You know, animals, when they gone, they gone. But man was made with a body, soul, and a spirit. And that soul lives somewhere eternally. And so one day we're going to live eternally somewhere. Listen to this, Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And we need to remember, wherever we're at, if Jesus Christ lives in us, he's with us, whatever we're doing. He sees us regardless, but he lives in us. And he says, your body is the temple of God. St. Augustine, I'm trying to remember what century, maybe it was the 5th or the 12th century, but he was a very crude man before he got saved. He frequented, you know, prostitutes and stuff like that. And he said one day after he got saved that he was walking down the street and one of the ladies he used to frequent came and she started running after him. He started walking a little faster. He went to the other side of the street and she was coming after him and she says, Augustine, Augustine, it is I, it is I. And he says, yeah, but it is no longer I, but it is Christ that lives in me. So he says, that life's through, it's gone. It is no longer I. I'm not that same man anymore. I'm not that same person anymore because Jesus Christ lives in me. We need to ask, are we glorifying God through our bodies? He says, whether I live or die. Are you willing to lose your life for Jesus Christ? Or is religion just something you do on Sunday or Friday or whenever Bible study happens? Is that what you do? Because there's a lot of people in the church. I'm not saying you're doing that today. But I know there's a lot of people in my church, other churches all over the place. They do that. And so I want to ask you today, why are you really here? Are you here to look good? You think you're doing God a favor? Are you here because you really want to know Jesus Christ? And you want to glorify Him and magnify Him in your life? That's what we need to be doing. And if you're not here for that reason, then I don't know what to tell you. Because Jesus Christ died for your sins, and He lives to make intercession for you if you've trusted Him as Lord and Savior. But if you haven't trusted Him, you're under wrath. You're going to die one day and you're going to go to hell. So Paul says in verse 22, "But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit for my labor. Yet what shall I choose? I cannot tell. For I am hard pressed between the two, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better." You see, Paul didn't want to just get out of this world because he hated this world. But see, he was caught between two things. He was like caught between a rock and a hard spot. He didn't know whether he wanted to go and be with the Lord, because he knew that he would live with Him in perfect, unhindered, intimate fellowship. He would get to enjoy Him, or whether he would live down here and serve Him. I mean, both of those are honorable things. You know, it's an honor that God has allowed us, if we've trusted Christ, to serve Him, to be able to teach others about Him. That's an honorable thing. And we ought to thank God for the privilege. I know I do. I'm not worthy of it. But God allows me because He chooses to use the weak things of the world to confound the wise. That He allows me to be here and teach y'all today. Not because of anything great in me, but because the only thing great in me is Jesus Christ. So I want to tell you today that it's Christ living in us and through us. And so He says that if I live on in the flesh, I'm going to have fruit. I'll be able to go out and teach others about Jesus Christ. Others will be saved. But He says, hey, if I die, I get to go to heaven and be with Jesus Christ. What did Jesus say? He says that you've done to the least of these, you've done unto me. And so when we do things for Jesus Christ in His name, not because we want the honor, the glory, and the praise, but because we did it for Him, because we love Him, then He gets the glory, He gets the honor, He gets the praise, and He gets everything. But when we do it out of our own strength, then we've gotten our reward. Paul knew that if he died, that he was going to be with the Lord. What does it say in 2 Corinthians 5:6? Says, "So we were always confident, knowing that while we are home in the body, we are absent from the Lord." And he says in verse 8, "We are confident, yes, well, rather pleased, to be absent from the body and to be present from the Lord." And in 1 Thessalonians 5:9-10, it says, "For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, die, we should live together with Him." And Titus 2:13-14 says, "Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify Himself a people zealous for good works." And that's why God died on the cross for us. That's why Jesus, God in the form of a man, Jesus Christ, died on the cross for us. We need to be willing to give our lives for Jesus Christ. He says, "I don't know what I want to do." But in verse 24, he says, "Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident in this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and the joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again." You see, he says, I'm caught between the two, but I know that God's not through with me yet. He has a work here for me that's not finished. And so I know that I will remain here because it's more beneficial for y'all, that y'all may progress in the faith, that y'all may grow stronger through the Lord, and that you may rejoice when I come see you again. So more Christians need to have the attitude of Paul. I mean, Paul's got a great testimony. They said he wasn't much to look at. He wasn't great in speech. But man, he had a powerful testimony. And he wanted to live for Jesus Christ. I was trying to remember, I think it was D.L. Moody, said the world has yet to see what God can do through a man as fully yielded to Him. And look what God did through D.L. Moody. He said, I want to be that man. You can be that man if you yield yourself to God and let Him work through your life. Listen to this, Acts 20, 22 through 24. Paul said, and see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish the race with joy in the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus Christ, to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. And Revelation 12, 11 says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives unto the death. And that's the way we need to be with Jesus Christ, because one day we're going to stand before Him as either Lord and Savior or as judge. And that's up to you. So what do you want to do today? That's up to you. I want to read a little illustration here. It says, one day a farmer's donkey fell down into the well. The animal cried piteously for hours as the farmer tried to figure out what to do. Finally, he decided the animal was old and the well needed to be covered up anyway, so it just wasn't worth it to retrieve the donkey. He invited all his neighbors to come over and help him. They each grabbed a shovel and began to shovel dirt into the well. At first, the donkey didn't realize what was happening and cried horribly. Then, to everyone's amazement, he quieted down. A few shovel loads later, the farmer finally looked down the well and was astonished at what he saw. With every shovel full of dirt that hit his back, the donkey was doing something amazing. He would shake it off and take a step up. As the farmer's neighbors continued to shovel dirt on top of the animal, he would shake it off and take a step up. Pretty soon, everyone was amazed as the donkey stepped over the edge of the well and trotted away. The moral of this story is life's going to shovel dirt on you, all kinds of dirt. The trick to getting out of life's well is to shake it off and take a step up. Each of our troubles is a stepping stone. We can get out of the deepest wells just not by stopping, never giving up. Shake it off and take a step up through the strength of Jesus Christ. I'm not a proponent of positive thinking. I believe that I can achieve it. But I'll tell you this story in the light of Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ and Him alone, you can shake that dirt off. And you can not only come through it victoriously, not only survive the trial, but come out victoriously, a better person with greater character. And people will be looking at you going, wow, how did you do that? And you could tell them about Jesus Christ and what He's done in your life. I read David Jeremiah says, when we know who we are and why we are here and where we're going, life's difficulties take on new meaning. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you don't really have a purpose in your life. That you don't really know where you're going. You don't really know why you're here. You don't really know what you're doing. You may have some goals of your own, some things that you want for you. But is it the right thing? You know, Solomon said it's all vanity. He had more money than anybody ever had at that time. And he said he tried wine, women, everything. Anything and everything you could try. And he said it's all vanity. And he finished the book of Ecclesiastes by saying that the chief end of man is to glorify and praise God forever. And if we're not doing that, if we don't know Jesus Christ, then life doesn't have any meaning. It doesn't have a purpose. That you're just passing through. The only purpose is you're going to see how bad your punishment's going to be in hell by how bad you are here. But one day you can stand before Jesus Christ cleansed if you don't know Him. If you know Him as Lord and Savior, And he says, I've thrown your sins in the depths of the sea. I remember them no more. They've removed as far as the east to the west. And that's why Jesus Christ died.
Hi, I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Please help us reach out to those the world has forgotten. Everyone we minister to is locked up in some way, shape, or form. Some are locked up in bodies that don't work and in the nursing home facility, in the wheelchair, the bed they cannot get out of. We minister to children and youth who are locked up because of behavioral problems or their parents. They aren't doing right and their cries, we want to have a real family. Other kids are locked up because they've committed crimes. We also minister to those locked up in the jail and the prison, to those locked up in addictions, to drugs, alcohol, depression and suicidal thoughts and a variety of other things that keep them from becoming who Jesus wants them to be. He came to give us life and to set us free, and these folks are not free, but we can set them free through Christ Jesus, at least in their minds and their spirits. We minister in the local area of Savannah, Georgia and surrounding Effingham and Chatham. We do about 2,000 services every year. We hope and pray that you'll support us in some way so we can continue our mission. Go to hisloveministries.net and click on the donate now button. And we hope and pray that you will do that. Thank you and God bless you.